Today on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires.
Why would God want to create a plan to save humans who had rebelled against him? Why would God do that? There wasn't anything that required him to make a plan of salvation. God, because of who he is, wanted to save humans because that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he is like. And so he set a plan in motion from the very beginning to save sinners.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. Adam and Eve are known for not only the first man and woman created, but also the first man and woman sinners, unfortunately. And it's because of the fall, a plan of salvation was put into place from that moment. And as Pastor Greg launches into a brand new study series in Paul's New Testament letter to the Romans, we'll begin to see all that's revealed about the Savior himself within the message of the good news of the gospel. And we're so glad you're along. And I have Pastor Greg in the studio with me to begin this new series in the book of Romans. And as we get started, Greg, can you give a brief overview of what the Apostle Paul was trying to say to the Romans?
Yeah, really the theme of the book of Romans is the gospel, which is good news.
Right.
And in particular, good news, not that we were able to find God, but God was willing to do whatever it took, especially send Jesus, to find us in the condition that we were in. So what's great about the book of Romans is overall the theme is good news. God is seeking to save sinners, but it's also a robust book that seeks to understand how does that good news show up in our life day in and day out. It's not just good news on maybe a moment when I encounter the Lord for the first time, but it's also good news all throughout our life as we encounter God. So Romans is a book that is built in the real world, while at the same time, it's profoundly optimistic because it's good news that God has sought us out.
Right. And the first message in this new Romans series is called, Jesus Stepped In to Save Humanity. And Greg, can you tell us about what we're about to hear?
Yeah, it's interesting. Although I think many of us, especially those of us who maybe have a religious background, we like the idea that God saves us, especially here in the United States. That's a common theme. But what we discover in the book of Romans is not that we ought to have been saved, but actually we find out if God hadn't stepped in by his own initiative, if God hadn't stepped in driven by his own nature, we wouldn't have invited him in. Huh. In fact, our history demonstrates that we would have asked him to leave. And so Jesus stepping in to save us brings us to the point of reality that God had to seek us out because we weren't seeking him out. And that is good news because God was willing to do it even though we were living in rebellion against him. And so Jesus stepped in even though that was the case.
Yeah. Well, let's get started with this message again called Jesus Stepped In to Save Humanity. Here's Pastor Greg.
The theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. The theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. Gospel, not real complicated. Good news. That's all it is. Good news. The theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. And we're going to be looking in the book of the Romans at the gospel, good news, from a number of different angles. But in particular, we need to recognize that it's telling us a message. The message is good news. There's lots of different kinds of news you can get. You can get good news, you can get bad news, you can get average news, whatever it is. But this is good news, and so it's a message. It's a message about something. And it's, in particular, a message specifically about Jesus Christ. So the theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. Good news, Jesus. And that's what we're going to be looking at over the course of time a number of different ways. And this is what I want us to think about because we want Romans, in the way it draws our minds to think about Jesus, to be our guide. There's lots of ways we could think about Jesus in the scripture, but Romans is relatively specific in the manner in which Jesus is presented. And we're going to recognize Jesus stepped in to save humanity. Jesus stepped in power. So the good news is Jesus stepped in. And so the gospel, the good news, reveals something to us about our Savior. It reveals something to us about what he is like. So just a quick way of kind of getting our minds thinking about this. I know this isn't terribly theological or high-minded, but here it is. When I was a kid, we watched professional wrestling. When I was a kid, we called it Portland wrestling. I don't know why it was called that, but it's not referred to that nowadays, but it's professional wrestling, and it's certainly not wrestling at all. It's two grown men getting into a boxing ring pretending to fight. That's what it is. And then they do this in essentially their underwear. I don't understand why we watched it, but essentially two grown men got into a boxing ring, pretend to fight in their underwear. And we watched this and were terribly entertained by it. Whatever. So there was one particular kind of match. It was called the tag team match. Okay, so it's two guys. Two guys are in wrestling, and they're against each other, and each of them have a teammate outside the ring. And what you're allowed to do is if you get tired or you're losing, you can tag your teammate, and you can tag your teammate in, right? You get tagged in, right? So usually in these matches, one of the teams is the good team. Yay, we want them to win. And the other team is the bad team. Boo. And so what would happen invariably in these matches is the bad team has the guy, he's down. He's done a pile driver. He's done a body slam. He's come off the third rope. He's done the face into the turnbuckle routine. And then now he's got him in a figure four leg lock. I know what you're doing. You're acting like I've never heard these terms because I'm so high-minded. So now he's got him in figure four leg lock. He's getting ready to quit. He's getting ready to surrender. And he's like, you know, pretend fainting. And then he's reaching out to his teammate, right? He's reaching out to tag in his teammate, but they can't quite reach. They can't quite touch each other. Is he going to make it? No, they're going to lose the bad team. And then out of nowhere, somehow, we don't know how, their fingertips just touch. Just grace their fingertips. And the guy who's been resting jumps over the third rope. The other guy, he can't even move. He's just passed out on the mat. And then through acrobatic routines and maneuvers, the good guys win. We love this, don't we? The hero jumps in and the good guys win. And we're just so excited because it seemed like everything was going to go terrible. And then now the hero wins. And then we're left going, I don't know why I'm watching professional wrestling, but it seems so compelling. And the reason it does is because we love this kind of thing. The hero steps in and saves the day. We love it. In fact, we are inspired by it, and we ought to be. We've seen story after story of volunteers and police and firefighters stepping in and helping people who couldn't help themselves otherwise, and we're moved by it, aren't we? We're like, that's amazing. There's this fantastic picture. I don't know if you've seen it, and it was a picture of a fireman's hose. And it was completely burned. It was just, you could see the fixture at the end, and then just what would remain of the hose, but most of it was just ash. What does that tell you? What does that tell you when the firemen didn't even have time to get their equipment stowed? It tells you they were in the mix. They were in the heat of it. And when it was time to go and try to establish another line, there wasn't even, they stayed so long they couldn't get their gear. And so it revealed, we're moved by that because we love that the notion that somebody is stepping in to help. And then not only that, when we see a picture like that, we know somebody stepped in to help, and we know something in particular about that helper. In that case, helpers who are willing to stand against the heat long past when they should have. They should have left long before then. But they said, no, we're going to stay and just see if we can make the line stand here, but in the end, they had to leave. So we love this because it tells us somebody helped and it tells us something about the helper. And this is what the gospel does. It doesn't merely give us good news. It gives us good news about Jesus, that he stepped in a particular way and we're to be moved by what kind of hero we have in Christ. That the gospel doesn't move us merely because of where we are. The gospel, in fact, moves us because of what our hero is like. So here's the two ideas of what he's like. Jesus stepped in to save humanity, and Jesus stepped in with power. Look at the beginning of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Maybe better translated, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Paul looked at himself in his relationship with Jesus Christ, and he said to himself, I am a slave of Christ. And the question we have to answer is, why would Paul consider himself a slave to Christ? And the why is this. Let's just keep reading just for a little bit. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Humankind rebelled against God, and now we need a salvation plan. And God has set in motion a plan to redeem humankind. And when did that plan start? Sometimes we think God had a lot of different plans, and none of them worked. And so plan cross was plan A, B, C, D, or something, but nothing worked beforehand, so therefore let's try this. That's not what happened. The plan was Jesus from the beginning. It says it was promised beforehand through the prophets, through the Holy Scriptures. The question we might ask ourselves, why would God want to create a plan to save humans who had rebelled against him? Why would God do that? And there's only one reason to understand God's motives. God is only motivated by two things: what his interests are and what his nature is. God saved humans because he wanted to. And God saved humans because that is what he is like. He wasn't under any obligation to save us. There wasn't anything that required him to make a plan of salvation. God, because of who he is, wanted to save humans because that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he is like. And so he set a plan in motion from the very beginning. From the very beginning, the plan was, send my son to save sinners. Let's look at this in detail over in Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 13. You're familiar with this story. It's the disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is after Jesus has raised from the dead. I'm going to read Luke 24, verses 13 through 27. It's a relatively long section of scripture for me to read, and you're just going to have to deal with it. Luke 24, 13, here is what it says. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened, and while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Dude, where you been, bro? Verse 19, and he, that is Jesus, said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Verse 25, and Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." So Jesus here on this road to Emmaus shows these disciples, beginning with Moses, the book of Genesis and Exodus, the things concerning himself, the Messiah. Walking through the Old Testament plan has always been the plan. God was going to send his Messiah to save his people. God was going to send his Messiah to redeem his people from their sin. And that has always been the plan. And Jesus walked through all of the Old Testament and showed these two disciples, this has always been the plan. Jesus is the plan. Jesus is the culmination of the gospel that has been proclaimed since the book of Genesis. He is the final piece of the puzzle of the gospel that is being proclaimed even now. So Jesus is saying, listen, I have stepped into humanity at the fullness of time to culminate everything God has proclaimed. Go back to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1, verse 3. He had just said, he had promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. You see that phrase there? Concerning his son. That phrase is a big deal. So far, we have a Messiah. We have a Messiah who has died on a cross, and we have a Messiah who is the culmination of human history. But now we have concerning his son, and now we are seeing a picture of the Messiah that was mostly missed. In fact, had it not been missed, maybe they wouldn't have crucified him. I don't know. But what does it mean concerning his son? Here's what it means. Jesus is God. He has always been, and he will always be. He was born a man in time, but Jesus, the Son of God, has always been because Jesus is God. John chapter 5, verse 18. Jesus had the audacity to heal a guy on the Sabbath. Can you believe that? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other Sees were very upset. Stop healing on the Sabbath. That's the day off. Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Okay, not a big deal, right? You and I read that. I'm like, okay, his Father's working, whatever. This is why the Jews, verse 18, this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Make no mistake, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus makes it quite clear, he claimed to be God himself. Jesus did not claim to be a good teacher. Jesus did not claim to be a good magician or a healer or a good rabbi or a guy with some pithy sayings. Jesus said, "I am the Son of God." And when he said that, he was claiming to be God himself, who has always existed and who always will exist. And if you don't think that's what he was claiming, my question is, why did they keep trying to stone him? They only stoned to death people they thought were being blasphemous. To claim to be God is blasphemy unless you're actually God. Then it's not blasphemy, it's just an accurate self-description. And Jesus claimed to be God because he is God. And so when we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul saying, "I am a slave of Christ, predicted beforehand concerning his son." Paul is saying, "I am a slave to God himself." The Messiah who was promised beforehand is God. And that's what many people in Israel missed. And they knew there was going to be a Messiah. They knew he was going to be a man. They knew he was going to save his people. Many of them didn't connect the dots and realize it was going to be God himself who would be the Messiah. And the Apostle Paul is saying, "I am a slave to Messiah because Messiah is God." Romans 3. More than that, Jesus stepped in to save humanity by being descended from David according to the flesh. So although he is God and has always been God and always will be God, he was born in the flesh and became a human, a man. He entered into humanity. In order to step in to save humanity, he had to enter into humanity. So Jesus is the Messiah, and the Apostle Paul says, "I am his slave because he is God." Romans 1:5. Look what the Apostle Paul says. "It was through Jesus Christ our Lord that we received grace and apostleship to bring about obedience of faith for the sake of his name." So the question is, why would Jesus enter into humanity? Obviously, that was what he was interested in, and obviously that's his nature. But what is hoped to be gained by Jesus entering into humanity to save humanity from their sins? And there's two reasons for it. Number one, to bring about his grace. It says Paul's apostleship was intended to bring about obedience of faith. What is obedience of faith? Because to us, maybe faith and obedience seem like they are contradictory. You either obey or try to serve God through works, or you try to serve God through faith. What is obedience of faith? They're actually two are intimately connected. So a kid comes home from school and there's a note on the refrigerator. And the note says this: "Please put your things away, have a snack, and do the dishes. I had to go run some errands. End of note. Please put your things away, have a snack, and do the dishes. I had to go run some errands. See you soon." And the kid says to himself, "I don't believe there is such a thing as mom. I don't believe mom exists. I think this note, while interesting, doesn't prove her existence. In fact, if you look closely at the note, it doesn't say it's from mom. In fact, there's really no way to know if this note was the original note. My guess is there was a note that predated this note, and some overzealous scribe has altered the note to fit his own agenda. And probably the original note said, 'Son, come home and play video games. Do whatever you want. ice cream's in the freezer. Something like that. Okay? Now, this is ridiculous. Why do I say that? Isn't it convenient the kid doesn't believe in mom? And maybe there's not quite enough data for him to be fully convinced there is such a thing as mom. But isn't it interesting that the non-existence of mom also serves to motivate his personal interests? If there is no mom, I'm in charge. If there is no mom, therefore you get to do whatever I want. And so faith is just simply this. Acknowledging the world is the way it actually is. The world exists because God has made it, so therefore God exists and he's totally in charge. And so it's this fact. Faith is just simply recognizing reality for the way it actually is. God's existence does not require your belief. You cannot believe all day long. He will not stop existing. He will exist regardless of we buy it or not. And this is how faith and obedience are connected. Obedience of faith is merely a recognition. I believe God exists and he is totally in charge, despite the fact that his existence gets in the way of me doing whatever I want. Because if he is totally in charge, what does that mean about me? I'm not. And so this is obedience of faith. So that's first step. Paul is saying he has a ministry of bringing people to the obedience of faith, recognizing reality the way it actually is. God exists and he's in charge. But look at the next thing. He wants to bring people to obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations. Why did Jesus step in to save humanity? Because he loves us? Yes. Because it's his interest? Yes. Because it's his nature? Yes. But why? For the sake of his reputation. He wants to be known as the saving God, the redeeming God. The enemy had a plan. Kill what God had made by getting humankind to disobey him, and God had a better plan. I'll give you resurrection. And Jesus pulled it off because he is just that powerful. Jesus stepped in to save humanity by becoming a human and humbling himself for us and taking our sin on the cross. And Jesus stepped in to save humanity with power. And he walked out of that grave and said, I don't think so. And if you want to walk out of your grave, then you must be with Christ.
Pastor Greg Spires providing a revealing look into the good news of the gospel as he draws out the reasons for God sending his son on our behalf. And we're not done for today, as Pastor Greg is standing by for some final words in just a moment. But first, we'd like to invite you to listen each week at this same time for more encouragement from God's Word. And by the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. And Pastor Greg joins me now in the studio again. Greg, one of the resources we're offering is a book called Gospel Wakefulness by author Jared Wilson. Can you tell us why you wanted to offer this book to our listeners?
Well, here's the thing, and I've read this book, and the reason it's helpful is many of us as believers, especially those of us maybe who have spent a considerable amount of time of our life in a church or living our life for the Lord, we have relegated the realities of the gospel to the day we got saved. So the gospel was good news on the day I responded in faith to Jesus, either at a church service or at a camp or in someone's living room. And then the rest of the Christian life, that good news has sort of begun to fade. And what Jared Wilson does in this book, and I think he does a fantastic job in this book, is he reminds us that the good news of the gospel is the power of our life day in and day out. In fact, that's what we see in Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And salvation is not just the day we get saved. It's each and every day after that living saved. And so the question is, what does it mean to have our desire and love for God reawakened in our soul because we're reminded again, day in and day out, the good news that Jesus saves sinners? And guess what? Good news, Jesus is doing the work in us to make us more like him. So if you found in your life that the good news is sort of faded, yeah, it was good news 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Is it still good news today? This book is going to do a great job reminding you the gospel is still good news for your life today. And I think it will really help you in your love and devotion to the Lord.
And if you'd like a copy of this excellent book, again called Gospel Wakefulness, just request it when you send a gift of any amount to help these weekly programs continue. Send your contribution to Lasting Hope, 649 Crater Lake Avenue, Medford, Oregon, 97504. And if you're in the Central Oregon area and don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC in Medford. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. Just go to lastinghope.org for more information and driving directions. Again, lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue this message titled, Jesus Stepped In to Save Humanity. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.